Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening and stay connected.
Well, if you've been paying attention, you now realize that Jesus did not call fans. No, he called disciples. But boy, it would have been easier to call fans, wouldn't it? That's what we want, after all. We want to follow a winner. We want someone who will get what we want, who will put another W in the right column. Being a fan of Jesus would mean, you know, I could pick and choose when I'd follow. If things weren't going so well, I could complain about this Jesus chap, as if he weren't putting in enough effort, as if he weren't reviewing the film enough, scouting the opponent well enough. I could stop paying a hefty premium for seats and hold back on my contribution to whatever booster club would get me the best seats. And when other conferences were triumphing, well, I could, with Cleo, or whoever, Chloe, maybe, like in the gospel, well, I could then say, I'd rather follow the dogs. Or I'd rather follow the rambling wreck. How about those Gamecocks? You know, they're doing really well this year. I might even become an ACC fan. Who knows? Because without performance, well, I can follow someone else. You know, I might keep the team colors. I might have a jersey, but if I were just a fan, well, I might take Jesus' name off the back of the jersey or follow Manning or Brady instead. They're pretty good, after all. You know, as a whimsical fan, well, this Jesus, he might come back next year. Maybe he'll get a better diet, work out a little more. Be stronger, more energized. He'll come back. And if he does, well, I'll show up. No. Jesus didn't call fans. He called disciples. It's easy here at the beginning of this story to think that this lot of fishermen just followed along. Robotically, they just went. Little price to pay. Of course, if that's what we think, we forget that three out of the four in today's gospel reading were martyred. Two of them crucified, one upside down. But that's another story. You know, it wasn't all stained glass and sterling silver in this early church. And when Peter, Andrew, James, and John walk with Jesus as disciples, not fans, well, they make a decision because they knew the cost. They knew the responsibility. They knew the coming of a new kingdom. The story goes that they indeed left everything behind. See the scene? They're there. They're fishing. They throw their nets down. We could conclude that they didn't know Jesus and that in this moment he walks by and they just leave. But if we've been paying attention, we know he's been around at least one or two other times. He told them last week, after all, come and see. But something I had not noticed until reading the gospel lesson this week was the fact that Jesus wasn't a foreigner here. He lived in the neighborhood. John the Baptizer had been in trouble. John the Baptizer had been arrested, and because of that, Jesus withdrew to Galilee. He lived by the sea. He went into the zone, the safety zone. And there, don't you imagine, in this small community of just a few hundred people, that he actually knew Peter and Andrew, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, because they were all locals. He calls on them today as someone who has been with them. He maybe even cast his own net into the sea with them one day. I'd like to think that they sat around a fire at night roasting the catch, and that over the days that they got to know this Jesus, over these days that they realized they weren't being asked to be fans but disciples, I'd like to think that they came into a deep relationship with him. The call to follow wasn't merely a tweet or a Facebook post. No, it was a relationship that was established by breaking bread together, by being present with one another, by being neighbors. They might have even sat down a time or two and talked about Jesus and his recruiting efforts. They might have reviewed some of the plays and thought about what they might do to put that W in the column. But in their conversation, these fishermen, they discovered much more than that. They discovered call, vocare, purpose. Let's shift gears. Have you known many fishermen? They're not a bunch that is easily swayed from the water. Think about it. You know them. I don't think I'm projecting my Episcopal trout-loving fly line self upon this lot. But knowing many fishermen, any of them would do anything for 30 minutes on the water. They don't just leave. They love it. It's in them. And so this group of fishermen, their livelihood coming from the water, these people aren't easily convinced to leave. Now we know later in the story that they're not going to give up fishing altogether, are they? They're going to fish as disciples. And they're going to be persistent. They're going to fish all night and realize they don't catch a thing, and then Jesus is just going to say, cast it over here, and everything's going to be good. It wasn't so much the miracle as it was the cast. It wasn't so much Jesus getting it right as it was the persistence of being disciples, of doing it again and again and again, even when it didn't work out. When somebody was saying, hey, loser, wrong play, wrong line, wrong net, you got it all wrong. Just do it one more time, Jesus says. Now, you, like me, have probably cast a fly line or maybe a bobber out there and sat forever and a day to have nothing happen. We know what that's like. But this lot, they couldn't go to Whole Foods if they didn't catch anything. And so the notion here is that the bread of life, Jesus, fish of fish, ichthus, Jesus Christ, Son of God, this one is coming along and he's asking for everyone to be caught, even if you come up empty. For everyone to give themselves to the game, even if the play doesn't work. And they do so knowing that they can't run out to the store and make up for the lack of success. We too are called with Peter and Andrew, James and John to turn ourselves around, to physically, emotionally, and spiritually turn ourselves around, to make a conscious decision to follow Jesus, to become disciples, to be more than fans. But in that moment, we don't have to get it right. We don't have to be given a playbook and memorize everything. We don't have to have a fly box with every potential size of woolly booger or pop bug. We don't have to have all the nymphs. All we have to do is follow and take direction as it comes. My brothers and sisters, it would have been so much easier, we think, to be called as fans. Because then we could just make a donation or buy the tickets when it was a winning season. But Jesus is asking us to be more than that. Never spectators who could just as easily quarrel and complain with Chloe and her companions. No, Jesus is asking us to be disciples. So how about you? How about you, Peter, Andrew, James, John, Bill, Betsy? How about you, Wynn? How about you, Matt? How about you, William? How about you, beloved child of God? Jesus is asking you to be a disciple, to just go fishing. Don't be a fan. It is so much better in the field and on the stream.